ask you to turn with me in your Bibles this morning, once again, to the Gospel of Matthew. This morning we'll be looking at verses 33 through 37 of Matthew chapter 12. This is Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37. Hear now the word of God. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So ends our reading of God's word this morning. Let us once again bow in prayer and seek his blessing. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would uphold us as we look at these words this morning. May you, by your Spirit, by his work in our hearts and minds, may he give us understanding of your truth. And may he, Father, bless my mind and my mouth, that I may think and speak clearly this morning. It is in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. When I was in high school, I had a friend who, I mean, I'm sure many of us have, that some of the words that came out of his mouth were not the best of words, and it was a pretty frequent happening, pretty much constant in his speech. And one time, I just asked him why, and he kind of looked at me surprised, and his answer was, well, he didn't realize that he was saying it. He didn't realize that he was using the words that he was using as often as he was using them. He was just speaking. That's just how he spoke. That was what he was used to. It was what had been his experience, and what had been filled in him was just coming out naturally in the words that he used. Jesus shows us this in this text. He talks about fruit on a tree, and there's a slight difference in what he talks about fruit on trees earlier in Matthew. Here it's the words that are used by a person. And as we consider the fruit that we produce and where that fruit comes from, the theme that we'll be looking at this morning is to let us make sure we are speaking out of a treasury filled with God's word. Let us make sure we are speaking out of a treasury that is filled with God's word. And we'll be just looking at this text in 2 points this morning. The first one being, we speak out of the treasury of our heart, as Jesus shows us in verses 33 through 35. In verses 36 through 37, we'll be looking at our final point. We will be judged by what is brought out of this treasury. So first of all, we speak out of the treasury of our heart. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 35, we read these words, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit." In this opening verse, Jesus is speaking in a way very similar to what we find in Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 through 20. In those verses, what Jesus says, he's speaking about the false teachers. And he's warning people to beware of false prophets. And he's saying, you will know them by their fruit. For a bad tree brings forth bad fruit, and a good tree brings forth good fruit. So by their fruits, you will know them. In that context, it was the teaching. that the false prophets had, the false teachers, what they were instructing in teaching the people. They were to look out for what those false prophets and teachers were the fruit that they were bearing. In that verse, it also speaks to more of the actions of those false teachers and what they were doing. Jesus takes what the false prophets were doing in their instruction and applies it more generally to just the basic actions that we would see in a person's life and what they do, the fruit that they bear. Jesus there was saying, by what they do, you will know them by their fruit. Well, as there we see it in the actions of the false teachers, in the actions of the bad fruit that is produced. Here, Jesus changes it slightly. Here is really more of a matter of the actual heart and the source of those actions. When he speaks about the actual words that people speak. So there was the actions that people, how they live their life and the fruit that they produce in that way. Here it is, those very words that we speak. You see, it's easy for us to kind of think of our words as just simply that, just words. It's not something that really important. Well, I didn't really mean it when I said that. We can even try to justify, well, I may not say the right things, but look at how I live my life. Well, Jesus here is saying, well, no, our words are important. Our words are important. Our words are just as important as our actions. Just like our actions can discredit the profession, so too, if we, you know, are a good person, but then with our mouth we're continually speaking something that is bad or evil, that too discredits any profession we might make with our actions. One of the interesting things here is that as Jesus begins, he begins either make the tree good or make the tree bad. In the Greek, these are imperatives. Most times we think of imperatives as commands. It's something that's commanded. But Jesus here, it would be wrong for us to say that he's commanding us to make bad trees. He's not telling us to make bad trees. What he's referencing here, I believe, is the hard work and the activity involved in producing good fruit or producing bad fruit. And we could rightly say, well, we would just naturally produce bad fruit. You would have to work at producing good fruit. But I would say Jesus' construction here and how Matthew presents it, the producing of bad fruit, although yes, it's what we would do naturally apart from Christ, there's a certain activity and labor involved in it. And those who produce bad fruit produce it with a gusto. We could think of Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32. Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32. We read these words. Paul is speaking about those who do not acknowledge God. He begins in verse 28. And says, they did not see fit to acknowledge God. God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful. And then hear this, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they knew God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them but give approval to those who practice them. Paul's words there, especially the phrase, inventors of evil, there is an idea of a labor and an activity involved. So it's not just that by nature we are opposed to Christ, but if we are opposed to Christ without God's work in our life, we are actively pursuing that which is evil. There is an activity and labor involved in producing bad fruit. It is people laboring and spending their life's work producing what is bad and what is corrupt, inventing evil, as Paul puts it, and then giving hearty approval to those who practice such things that God says one should not practice. Jesus then moves on. As he's addressing here the Pharisees. And this is in the context of the passage we looked at last week and the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit in this conversation he's having and dialogue he is having with the Pharisees. He addresses them when he says this, "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil." These are harsh words. John the Baptist used this same phrase when the Pharisees came to him to be baptized. He called them a brood of vipers. Literally, you generation of vipers, you offspring of serpents. These are harsh words, but Jesus knows their hearts. He knows exactly what their intentions are, exactly what their motives are, exactly who they are. Better than these men know themselves, just like God knows us better than we know ourselves. Jesus can see and know exactly who these men are. And so he addresses them, "You brood of vipers, you offspring, how can you speak good when you are evil?" Jesus then teaches us that the words that we speak, and let's keep in mind here the context of what immediately preceded this. What these Pharisees had done is, as the people started wondering, okay, is this the Son of David? As Jesus cast out the demon that made the deaf and the mute man speak, or the blind and the mute man speak and see, the Pharisees countered that by saying, no, he's casting out these demons by the authority of Beelzebub, or Beelzebul, Satan himself. So in their words, as they're crying out against Jesus and what he is doing, as they're crying out against the work of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is doing through Jesus, that is the context of Jesus' charge against these Pharisees. "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good who are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Jesus here, his illustration reminds me of something like a bank account. It's not a novel illustration or something grand, but that's the best way I can describe kind of how he talks about the words that we speak and where they come from. You know, as we would draw money out of our bank accounts to pay for something, so too, what is drawn out of that bank account is, you know, your money, what's yours. And so too, the words that come out of the treasury, the bank account that is stored in our hearts, that is where they come from. But we might wonder, well, aren't there people that are really guarded and you would never hear them say a single bad thing about anyone, or a single curse word, or a single taking the Lord's name in vain? And yet, and they may live their life in a way that is good and outwardly just perfect. But yet, they haven't accepted Christ, or they've rejected him. Well, my answer to that is, yes, some people are guarded. We're very good at guarding who we truly are. Trying to hide who it is that we are, but we can't hide it from Christ. And what is said when someone is out of control? What is said when someone loses the ability to restrain and rein in what they normally have a good protective wall around? You know, that's something then that we can see. I'd say that would be what is coming out of the treasury of their heart. When someone loses control and begins speaking out of what is there, that is a window into what is going on into their heart. And if it, when it happens to us, when we have those moments where we lose control and we begin saying things that we will regret, that is a look and a window into what we are putting into our own hearts, what we are putting into our own souls. So the question we have to ask ourselves, what are we putting into the treasuries of our heart? Jesus has said here that our hearts are like a bank account. It's like a treasury that you draw stuff out of. So what are we putting into that treasury that we can draw out? You know, if you put in your bank account, if you take the bank a bunch of Monopoly money, and you try to just bring it out and try to buy stuff with it, it's going to be useless. It's bad. It's bad money. It's not good money. If you put in what is good, what is profitable, you can draw it out. You can actually do stuff with it and prosper with it. Well, in the same way, spiritually, those moments when we maybe lose control and our guard slips, what comes out of our mouth? In those instances, we need to humbly seek God. If it's something that is bad, that is wicked, we need to seek His forgiveness. We need to be striving to put into our treasury what is good. It brings us to our second point. We will be judged by what is brought out of the treasury of our hearts. Jesus continues in these verses. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Here Jesus says that we'll be not only judged by our actions, but He's saying we'll be judged by what we say, the words that we speak. But this verse, in many ways, in many circles, has been misinterpreted or misapplied as what one writer, in just a way of making very, what you describe as dull individuals, those who are unable to laugh, unable to chit-chat in a way that is fun, to have a little bit of banter and some humor. By misapplying verse 36, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. The word careless there, it doesn't refer to, it doesn't mean a joke or a chit-chat that we have that may seem like doesn't have any eternal consequences. You know, it's fine and it's good that the majority of our conversations after the worship service have to do with our daily lives. We're here to fellowship, to encourage one another, to talk about how we're doing, to share one another's burdens. If everyone here doesn't immediately get up and turn around and start speaking and talking about the glories to come, which is good if you do, but if we don't do that, it doesn't mean that we violated what God or Jesus has said here. The word careless here does not mean just our basic chit-chat or jokes. Another way that we could translate that word careless would be empty, vain. And one writer or one commentator quoted another man by saying, it's not thoughtless words, such as a carefree joke, but deedless ones. Loafers which ought to be up and busy about what they say, the broken promise, the unpaid vow, words which said, I go, sir, and never went. That last phrase, the author there is referring to Matthew chapter 21, verse 29. That is a parable of the servants that Jesus gives. Of master goes to one and tells him to do something, and he says, no, I can't do it. But then he ends up doing it. And then the other one, the master goes to him and says, yes, I will do it, but he never does it. And Jesus is teaching there who actually did what the master wanted him to do. Well, it was the one that said at first, no, I can't, but then did it. And the other one was seen as a wicked servant. This author that the commentator quoted, you know, not to get too technical, but the word here at its root, he'd argued, means something deceptive, fallacious, something empty, vain. You can consider, you know, Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, the third commandment, where God says, you know, if anyone takes the name of the Lord in vain, it says, you shall not take the name of the Lord in your vain, Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And we went through the Ten Commandments, we looked at that, and it was that the word vain there just meant like an empty, void, just a vain way of taking and speaking about the Lord. Well, here in a similar way, Jesus is saying that every empty, every false, every deceptive, every broken promise, every unpaid vow, every time we have said that we would do something and yet never did, these empty, careless words that we would just throw up. He says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for what they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So what we need to do, brothers and sisters, to guard ourselves against bringing forth bad fruit from our speech. Proverbs 4, chapter 4, verse 23 says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. This ties in nicely with what Jesus is telling us here, is that out of the abundance of our heart, out of the treasuries of our heart, our speech flows from. You know, the Proverbs 4 verse can be applied to just our actions in general, because our whole life is really kind of flows out of what's in and contained in our heart. But specifically in this passage, it can be applied as our speech itself, how we speak to one another. So how do we watch over our hearts in this way? Well, it challenges us. The way we do this is to memorize God's Word. To memorize God's Word. This is for all ages and all abilities. We're to be at memorizing God's Word. This is for myself included. In doing so, What do we do when we memorize the Word of God? If you're like me and you go through and you're memorizing something, anything, you know, what I have to do is I have to repeat it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Just a bunch of times. I begin by just looking at whatever I'm memorizing and just looking at the words itself, reading it over and over again as I'm looking at it, reading it out loud. Then I take my eyes off the page and I try to say it over and over again out loud. Until I think I've got it. And then I move on maybe to the next phrase. Now what are we doing if we have that method of memorizing? Or just memorizing in general? We're really ruminating and chewing on and meditating on what we're putting into our mind, into what we're memorizing. We're focusing on it. We're looking at the words. We're ingesting it. We're putting it into us. So as we memorize God's Word, what we are doing is we are putting His very life-giving, affirming Word into our very core. For something that, you know, when we don't have the Bible with us, we can think about it then. We can look upon it. We're giving, basically, the Holy Spirit almost His ammunition. Where we're facing a temptation or a trial, He can reach in and like, well, here's, you know, this verse. Here's what I said here. See, regardless of our age or station in life, we need to be filling the treasury of our heart with the Word of God. Memorizing it. Meditating upon it. And what this does, what the Word of God does, is it softens us. It softens our hearts. It shapes our hearts. It purifies our heart. It prunes us, it challenges us, it builds us up, it strengthens us. Like a good gardener that God is described as, who takes his pruning shears and prunes the bad, dead things off of a plant to help it grow and flourish and to bear more fruit and be more productive. We can look at God's Word as his pruning shears. And as we memorize it, He takes those pruning shears as we meditate upon it, and He uses it to mold us, to shape us, to prune away what is bad, to prune away what is evil, so that we then begin to produce the good fruit that He wants us to produce. This is why it is necessary for us. And I had one pastor at Alicia's church in the North Hills of Pittsburgh. His name is Martin Blocky. Some of you may know him. Whenever he would say something, he wanted to get the point across of, I'm speaking to myself here as well. You know, if you imagine someone speaking to you and they've got a finger pointed at you, know that there are no more fingers pointed back at me in this position than any finger pointed back at the congregation. We, brothers and sisters, you and I need to be in God's Word. Not just on Sundays. We need to be in it daily. Not just for our work. We need to be in it for our personal life and devotions. Because as we meditate on it, as we study it, as we memorize it, as we ruminate on it and think upon it, this fills the treasury of our heart with what is good, with what is pure. So that at those times where we might lose control and our guard slips, by God's grace, what will come out of our mouth will still be out of that treasury that we have been building up. Out of His beautiful and wonderful truth, out of His Word. So brothers and sisters, as Jesus here admonishes the Pharisees of how are they able to say anything good when they are evil? And when He tells them that at the day of judgment, the words that men and women speak will be brought up and we will be judged, justified, or condemned by those words. Let us make sure, brothers and sisters, that we are putting in the treasuries of our heart the Word of God. And that we speak out of that treasury. For it is by God's grace that we are justified. It is not by our actions. It is by His grace revealed to us in His truth. So as we speak this word, we will be justified. Because it is His gracious word that we speak, not our own actions. But if we speak in a way that is evil and against His truth, we show that we are condemned. So let us make sure, brothers and sisters, that we store in our hearts God's word and speak out of this treasury. Amen. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your truth. Lord, we pray that You would give us all the strength to speak from a treasury that is filled with Your truth. May we be storing in our hearts Your word. May You, Father, use it to guide us and to mold us and to shape us, to mold us more into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May You use it to strengthen us and to sharpen us when we face times of trial and temptation, that may we recall Your truth and be released and saved from a time of trial. May we, Father, be preserved and purified by it, pruning away what is evil and corrupt in us. And may we, Lord, in the day of judgment, be justified by Your gracious truth presented in the gospel. By grace alone we are saved through faith in Jesus Christ alone. It is in His name that we pray. Amen.